Everyone has a story. How they got here, where they met along the way, the choices they made, the dreams they are chasing. Welcome to Anthologies of Hope.
Welcome back to another episode of Anthologies of Hope this week. And it's one we've been queuing up for a couple of weeks, but now we've got a special guest here. And we've got two bonus episodes that we've been also alluding to the past couple of weeks with some of the anniversary content for Sip of Hope that we recorded a bunch of stuff at the beginning of May, actually May 1st, kicking off Mental Health Awareness Month. And now we're moving into actually releasing some of that since we had a pretty packed May, as well as the arrival of Baby O as well to add to our workload as well there. So we've got Mike Van Opel here from Hope for the Day joining us, and we'll do a little quick intro before we jump into some excellent interviews with pretty much the brainchild of Sip of Hope, some of the folks from the Partners in Prevention that hopefully they use to get Sip of Hope off the ground, and then also the kind of the guiding light of Sip of Hope in the general manager of Sip of Hope. So, Mike, why don't you give yourself a quick intro, then we'll jump into it.
Hey, Rick. I'm so glad to be a part of this, because the amount of support that you've shown us through Anthologies of Hope has been just commendable, really inspired by your show and the work we get to do together as we try and capture these live podcast recordings in Sip of Hope and create this flagship of Conversations Cafe to really involve the community in the conversation and all the intersections that come with mental health. I'm so excited for this supercut to now be in people's ears in some more digestible chunks, and the work that we've put in so far has just got me super jazzed up because some of these stories from some of these key players, they just floor you, you know, when you really kind of think about what started a year ago and how much stuff changed once it started and where we are now and the potential for the years to come and all that, so.
It's definitely a 1+1=3 type scenario, because when you think about it being, oh, it's just a coffee shop, or you think about it, it's like, oh, it's something that Hope for the Day is using just as like a mental health outreach area. But then, so they would generally be kind of different ends of the spectrum. But then when you hear the stories both now this week and what we'll get to next week through most of the Sip of Hope staff, there's a lot of events or experiences that you would never think to like happen anywhere else in a different type of setting, be it another coffee shop or restaurant or retail store or something like that. But just the backing of Hope for the Day putting into SIP, and then the community has embraced SIP, and everything that has come together there has really made for some exceptional stories, experiences, and just support that is, again, something that is more than the sum of its parts.
Yeah, well, the community is the proof of proactive prevention and the power that we hold in having a conversation that everybody's starving to have, but most people have not been brave enough to pierce the veil of that silence. And to put it right there in a community cafe has just been tremendous to see the results. And it's given me kind of a home for education, home base, and a touch point for people to interact with me and see kind of on another level how much more this is than just teaching somebody a list of skills to memorize, but how it is really changing the way you think, talk about, and respond to your own mental health first, and then hopefully, you know, I mean, it's just so cool to see a coffee company and people that worked in coffee before and people that worked in mental health before, and then every possible shade of humanity walking in those doors, engaging and talking about what Hope for the Day is doing. I'm floored by it every day, and it helps me to continue to push forward and be inspired and to get louder and to also fill in my own perceptual gaps as I talk to more people and learn about things that I never considered. And one particular thing that blows me away when I think about it is the space is provided, a space for people that are grieving a loss, particularly a loss by suicide, that they have not been able to talk about their grief for whatever reason is in play in their life that's stigmatizing, and how really impactful that's been to people in their healing. as they confront this dark thing that nobody let them talk about until they walked through those doors. Mm-hmm. So,
and we never really, at least from an Anthologies of Hope perspective, we never really did a specific Sip of Hope episode, not for lack of planning or trying, but it just ended up being, it wasn't one that fit into the general planned season and content so far, but this one kind of happened organically, and I think it ended up being better than anything we could have planned, where instead of us talking about it in third person or kind of recounting details or anything like that, it's just we're capturing it from the people that made it happen, and they're the ones that are doing it on their own, and again, the brainchild and the, you know, the community sponsors and the folks running it. So I think it ended up being a more organic episode than we ever could have imagined. As always, each week we'd like to remind you that if you're in a time of crisis, we'll be covering a range of potentially difficult topics, even though the tone of this week's episode is mostly celebratory. Please use this as a warning to seek help and come back to listen once you are in a more positive season. If you are in need of help, an abundance of international resources can be found on the Find Help pages from Hope for the Day and To Write Love in Our Arms. Hope for the Day can be found at hftd.org/find-help, and To Write Love in Our Arms can be found at twloha.com/find-help. As always, you can find us at anthologiesofhope.com, on Facebook and Instagram as Anthologies of Hope, on Twitter as Anthologies Pod, or email us directly at anthologiesofhope, all one word, no punctuation, at gmail.com. Like, subscribe, and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Podcasts.
It's truly awesome, and I'm so proud of our partnership and how we pulled it off, too, man. That was a long day, but so worth it, so worth it.
So without any further ado, we, as you mentioned, it was a pretty long day, and we were recording throughout the day. Ended up capturing over 2 hours over the course of the day through all of the ridiculousness and chaos going on in the shop from other folks in the community delivering cake, delivering donuts, delivering pizza to everybody at the
Shout out to the regulars. To the
SIP team. So we were able to capture a lot of interviews there, and you were leading the interviews with a lot of with everyone. And so we'll let you intro each of the folks as we come on. So with that, why don't you give Johnny a quick intro, and then we'll jump into his interview.
For sure. I had the privilege of being podcast host for this particular version of Conversations Cafe, and because Carl does a massively amazing job every other time. But I got to talk to my homie, the founder, CEO, Johnny Boucher, in a very, intimate kind of way in the office at SIP, really asking him some pointed questions about 1 year of SIP and what it means to him and how he's been impacted even, So that's what you'll hear next.
Awesome. Let's hear it.
What is your name?
My name is Johnny Boucher. I am the founder, CEO of Hope for the Day. Sip of Hope is one of my crazy ideas that was created by me and my friends.
For you, what was that like, approaching your friends at first and being like, hey, this might seem radical, putting this kind of information on a thing like coffee, but can you help me do this?
Our relationship was started because a good friend of both of ours, Amy, who once worked for Revolution Brewing, was working with Hope for the Day, and we were putting on Art Gives Me Hope 2013, and I had done Art Gives Me Hope was the same, traditionally it was the same weekend as Riot Fest. So we always did it the Thursday before, and then it kind of came a bidding war because I started wanting to do shows and bigger parties, all sorts of stuff. Anyways, so Dark Matter got involved with that event, and it was up at, it was up in Ravenswood at Architectural Artifacts. And sitting there, and it's like, all your friends, like from the beer industry, these new coffee dudes, a bunch of artists, and a bunch of punk rockers. And then, like, I think what kind of sealed the deal for everyone was when Rise Against just showed up, and they're like, this is fucking awesome. And you know, you had them, you had Alternative Press Magazine. It was like this like spectacle. So we go into that Riot Fest weekend, and we decided to hang out behind one of the trailers that they were pouring coffee out of. We were just talking about life and the great things about life. And we were set up on Riot Fest that weekend, and we had gotten some pushback. Hope for the Day got some pushback from the placement and they literally put us next to, and they'd put, like, Ratfest had put Hope for the Day next to our good friends at Right Love in Our Arms. And I just walked up to the person that was holding it, and I said, hey, what's the point of having two organizations that are fighting for the same mission to be in the same area? We should really be spread out and act as anchors, because that just seems logic, you know, like, logically to me, that it makes sense. And lo and behold, no one cared. So I just picked all of our stuff up, but I moved it over. I moved it right next to Alternative Press Magazine and Samsung. And lo and behold, I was an eyesight of Dark Matter. So I was like, I'm going to go piss off and hang out at Dark Matter a bunch. We just started talking about, like, what could we do differently, because I was kind of amped up and I was kind of upset. And to them, they believe in the same mentality, like communicate, you know, community-driven things and just working together. So I just threw it out there. I said, hey, my one of my board members and I were roasting coffee down in Bourbon A, and I came up with this idea called Sip of Hope, and I showed him the old bag, which the bag of coffee was originally this brown paper bag that had a stamp on it.
Yeah.
Super simple. And I did some fun things, like I put small batch and stuff like that, but it was all just a stamp. But I also followed up with, hey, would you guys do this? And also, just so you know, I went to Whole Foods in Lincoln Park and got them so far to create a product and everything, and then or a product code for us. But then when they asked me how much I could do for fulfillment, I kind of got caught with my pants in there down. Like, I don't know. I roast 20 pounds at a time with a board member in Bourbon A week. We're 20 pounds a week, you know? And I'm like, that's like nothing. That's 20 bags, right? They laughed at that. And they're like, yeah, all right. Like, so what's the bag? And I was like, oh, man, I want to have resources on it. I just want to have this, like, this message. And we just got the conversation started. And it was it wasn't like a no. It was like, dude, this is cool. We've never heard about this before. So we decided to pop, drop, and lock it. And
yeah, they were like, we can do this. We just need to figure out how to
do it. Yeah, like how to do it. Like, it was cool. No one was thinking like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Coffee for a cause, you know. Still people aren't thinking about that. But the big thing about Sip of Hope, a story a lot of people don't know, is Sip of Hope, the idea of creating a social enterprise came from my friend Jay Michael, who was an amazing person who invested his time in the LGBTQ community in the Uptown neighborhood, and also an artist. As a real estate developer, he would work with the city to create, to take over buildings and then get subsidized funding to allow artists and people who were making under a certain amount of money, but were creatives, a place where they could put, you know, a roof over their head. And it was about rehabilitating them and lifting them up. So I thought this program was amazing. And his office was in Hope for the Day's first real office above the Green Mill in Uptown. So lo and behold, one day we're talking and he goes, dude, you need to create like a business that every day is making money, because mental health will never get the funding that you guys need. And you just need, you're just doing such cool stuff. And I said, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. He was offering $100,000 grants to start a business. And I was like, dude, I'm going on Warp Tour. I don't know. Like, what the hell you're even talking about, man? And Jay's time was, like, super valuable. And sadly, he passed from cancer in January 2016. Simultaneously happened during the day, like, day two of us as a staff going through mental health first aid training, instructor training, which is 5 days of just like,
it's grueling,
sad shit, you know.
Yeah. It's a lot of heavy stuff.
It's a lot. Like it is
8 hours a day.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And especially being vulnerable and everything, but like, because we are also vulnerable, I found out, and it was also, there's a blizzard. So all of us were like locked in our hotel rooms and we were just like running from room to room. And I was just like blown away, and I was like, I took a moment, I shed a tear, and I was like, fuck. And all of a sudden I just had this like thought of like the conversation, and I was like, man, I wonder what that really meant. To the point that, you know, I
started reading.
Well, you know, I took the year to like kind of think about it. And then in the fall of 2016, I talked to Dave and I was like, hey, I think I'm gonna start putting together this business plan for this thing. He's like, for what? And I was like, the coffee shop. He's like, huh? And at that time, we had been in like 6 months of rebranding the bag as it is now. And like, that spiked everything, because it was truly on brand with Hope for the Day, truly on brand with Dark Matter, but it was like prominent and it looks great on its shelf. So like, we started thinking. And then February of 2017, I sat down with Jay and I was like, can I do this? And he's like, yeah, don't fuck it up.
I want to tell you how proud of you.
Oh, yeah. No, we should be proud of us, you know?
Absolutely.
Because remember, we opened this bitch up, and then all of a sudden I was out 45 days later and went out on Warped Tour because show's got to get on. But it's really about the staff.
Shout out to homie Chris.
Yeah.
Because, too, for putting in the time.
Oh, Chris, my brother Sam.
Your bro Sambo.
All the guys. All the plumber, the electrician, all the people from the city. Anyone and everyone that funded this thing. It's fucking cool. We're here.
So, we've all learned a lot in the year that's been open. What are some of the standouts for you that you've learned in the year that's been open?
We'll go organizational, then we'll go personal. Organizational, I've realized that something that I've been working towards, us being able to really have a place to at a seat at the table, and also to invite people to sit at our table with us. When it comes to mental health and just Hope for the Day's work in general, our job is not to overpower or anything. It's just to, be a part of the conversation. And for so long, we had so many doors shut on us. And then we opened this thing, and now everyone's like, yo, what up? It's kind of like, I compare it to this. It's kind of like when you're like fat, like I was. I mean, I'm still fat, but when I was fat, like when I was like in like high school,
yeah,
and then like
chubs.
And then like, I drop all this weight, and then I go to my 10-year and all like, and I, but which didn't, I went to the 10-year, I didn't drop a bunch of weight. I think I looked all right. I was legit the only person, that showed up wearing anything related to my school too. I was like, did I fuck up? I thought we were here to celebrate.
Oh, you had some spirit?
Yeah, I wore the football jersey that had my last name on it, but I didn't play football. Anyways, it's just,
slick.
But, it's like you go back and then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, damn, and it's like, oh, you didn't want me back then. Well, I don't want you now, what I'm saying? It's fun because that's how it's been for us, but we've also been like, yeah, we've been waiting for you to come have a talk with us, have a cup of coffee with us, So I think that one thing that we've learned as an organization is our strengths, a lot of our strengths. We've improved on how we delegate as a unit, how we work together, how we respect, people's lanes and programs. Like, this is very much a program of Hope for the Days that is ran by people that don't go into the Hope for the Day office, which is just kind of cool,
Oh, yeah.
And then personally, it's taught me a lot, but it's also reminded me that as cool as all this is, it's not cool if it's just me, And that's why like a lot of like me, versus we is my whole thought process, because what this represents is everyone else. Like, a lady came up to me today who's a customer, a regular customer. I don't see her all that often, but she came up to me, gave me a hug, and started crying, and said, "Hey, guess what? You saved one." And I was like, "Huh?" And I wanted to be like, "We saved one," but like I wasn't like, "Oh, I'm not gonna take away from this moment." I was like, "Oh yeah," and like, I was like, "This is like some heavy shit," but like, this is our everyday lives here at Sip of Hope, And we get to rely on a great team, but at the same time, it wouldn't be. And this is me just trying to understand like how I don't like to take credit for things. It's just like it really is a group effort, But it's also to remember that, as we're growing, how inclusion and how do we keep everyone included. That's just the important thing, because that's really what this shop does. It invites everyone, includes them to be a part of the conversation around mental health, also be a part of the solution, but also just, have a safe place to come work on themselves, work on work, or take a moment. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, just invite everyone to the party, because one day, I'm not going to be able to go to the party. You won't be able to go to the party. That's life.
And as far as all the things you've seen with regards to interactions at the shop, customer to customer, peer to peer with your staff, and like what are those memorable pieces that stick out in your head? Experiences you've had a lot, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, there's so many, and I don't think one weighs out the other. And I think they're all special because they happen in here. And just to think that just like Hope for the Day didn't exist one day, like this place. One day it wasn't existent, and it was the Dill Pickle, and it was an awesome, co-op grocery store. It was a community-based thing. So we got to nurture and take that spirit on when they moved to their new location, and we got to keep it going. But I think it's moments like last night where I was just like here by myself, and I'm like, this place exists.
Yeah.
That are like the coolest, because then it's like our slogan, everyone loves it's okay not to be okay. And we're like, yeah, just go utilize it however you want, Make it. Make it, and that's what art is, And this, at the end of the day, is art. This is an art form. We invite people to be a part of it however they want. And that's why I think every moment is special, you know, the calmness in the morning before the rush to the rush. Like, it's all part of so many people's lives, and we're a touch point. And what happens from here is truly, you know, endless.
Well, man, thanks for everything that you do and that you've contributed to year one of Sip of Hope.
Yeah.
We love you, man.
Oh, I love you too. Yeah.
All right, so you just heard Mike interviewing Johnny Boucher, founder and CEO of Hope for the Day and brainchild behind Sip of Hope. So next up, we have Kyle Hodges from Dark Matter Coffee. So why don't you go ahead and give Kyle a little intro there, Mike?
So yeah, Kyle Hodges, Minister of Propaganda over at Dark Matter. So the DMC family has just been so huge in helping to amplify the message that it's okay not to be okay, helping to raise the visibility of resources that are available out there nationwide 24/7 by putting it right on the bag of coffee, right? So Kyle has just the best ideas about how to take a company model where it's about moving units and selling product and then making sure that everything has a kind of a social impact focus, because they don't just support Hope for the Day. They support farmers in Guatemala and different locales that they source beans from, and they've supported trans rights through a bag of coffee. They've done pretty much anything you can possibly think of to have a positive impact through their entrepreneurial spirit, and they kick so much ass, and we're really lucky that they were around to help bring the bag of coffee into reality, and then in turn bring Sip of Hope coffee bar into reality.
I think one of the special things is next week you'll hear in talking with all the baristas how much everyone working at Sip of Hope enjoys working with DMC as a partner. And so the magnitude of that outreach and how much the missions go hand in hand came across loud and clear in all the interviews with the baristas.
Oh, man, it's a family affair, and it's so cool because the science that they bring to the coffee experience at DMC has, you know, really just made everybody that works at SIP not only an expert, you know, at making them an amazing cup of coffee, but doing it the DMC way, which is pretty special.
Excellent. Let's hear Kyle.
What's your name?
I'm Kyle Hodges.
And how are you associated with Sip of Hope?
Well, I work for Dark Matter Coffee, and I was one of the first individuals to meet Johnny Boucher. And just heard about his enthusiasm and need to get awareness out about Hope for the Day and the great things that they're doing. And so,
So when Johnny first came to you with the idea of putting the message, putting resources on the bag of coffee.
Yes.
Like right away, was that like, yeah, like, was that a yes? Or did he have kind of convinced you guys? And,
oh,
like,
no.
Hate you?
No, none of that. You know, unfortunately, I myself am like a lot of people in this world. My former roommate and coworker had committed suicide about 8 months prior. And so when I first met Johnny, you know, it was one of those things that immediately, yeah. No problem, done. Yeah. So it was not a matter. Yeah. And it was not a matter of, let me hear more, because I need to decide. It's let me hear more, because we're going to figure out what we can do immediately. What's a short term, long term, and you know, pie in the sky goals that we can meet and reach.
Like that process of getting it on the bag, and then getting Sip of Hope, the blend kind of dialed into what you guys wanted taste wise, and then getting it on the shelves. That was like a whole ordeal, probably. Right?
It's like any project. I mean, it's still you got other people to convince, and with, you know, Hope for the Day, and it's especially now that Sip of Hope has become what it is. You know, it's never about getting them on board with the idea. I think that's always there. I think the real work is increasing the urgency and getting them to enact on it sooner rather than later, and that's always been the kind of tough work, I would say, because the work and the cause, it speaks for itself. And so it's one of those things that, you know, yeah, you just let it take its course.
Hell yeah. And you guys do amazing things with your coffee. You support lots of causes in addition to Hope for the Day. And you even got the Crack the Sky Mastodon blend that also kind of kicks some money our way. I just can't thank you guys enough for being family and supporting what we do at Hope for the Day. Also, hearing the stories from the past year about customers coming in and experiences that staff has had or maybe you've had personally here at the shop, anything stick out in your mind as like most memorable?
When I saw after like 6 months of everything being opened and aware, it's like it's more about just waking up one day and just noticing how much my social media feeds were filled with people that I know, you know, personally that I didn't know they were connecting in with Sip of Hope or with Hope for the Day. And so then when you start seeing all of that, just kind of one day, just like I said, it just feeding all of my social media feed and just seeing it just, and it was like towards the beginning of this year where all of a sudden I just started noticing even more and more and more awareness about, like I said, from people that I've known far and wide that I didn't know connected with them in that way. That just means it's working. So
were you guys surprised when Johnny, after the bag of coffee was selling well at grocery stores and stuff like that, when he came with the idea of going for that moonshot, being like, hey, can we actually make a coffee bar that's kind of feels like a Dark Matter space? Were you guys like, whoa, or like, it's time, let's do this, let's push them?
I think a little bit of everything, because it's when you first get those ideas, we've gone through multiple ideas with Johnny, you know, multiple fun things, multiple projects. You know, the Mastodon show at the Metro was one where a roller coaster of, you know, of times. And it's not that they're good or bad. It's just like, it's, you know, it's a roller coaster of emotions all the time on this stuff. So yeah, I would say everything, because what we wanted to do was we wanted to take that idea and we had to hone it, and we had to, that was our kind of, like what we felt we could contribute is, you know, like we want this to be a Hope for the Day entity and thing, but we got to help him and help the team hone it in there to where it's something that is, you know, is going to achieve what everybody wants it to achieve. You know, there's a lot of people in Hope for the Day all rooting for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. And your guys' talent and business acumen has just made it just possible to do this and do it successfully and to be able to celebrate 1 year. Kyle Hodges, thank you so much for
thank
being
you.
Part of year one of Sip of Hope, man.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right, so you just heard Kyle Hodges from Dark Matter Coffee. And next up, we have an important member of the community, whereas we mentioned at the top that it is, or it wouldn't be as much of SIP without the community around it. You can put the coffee shop there, but if the community doesn't embrace it or it doesn't support the community, it's not really going to take off. So the next interview that we have is a quick one with Cook County Commissioner Luis Arroyo, who I'll let you kind of detail his interaction with SIP there, but he was gracious enough to give us some time on May 1st to hop in and both to say hi and congratulate everyone in the shop, but also give us a couple of minutes. So why don't you give the background between Luis and his experience with SIP?
What an awesome dude, first of all. I mean, as far as somebody that really tries to mix it up and talk and listen to their constituents and the people that his decisions directly impact, guy's amazing. He was there day one, cutting the ribbon for Sip of Hope when it first opened with Senator Dick Durbin. Just really legitimizing in some ways what this means to the community at a time where that was really important. Now it's kind of proven itself. He showed up for the 1 year anniversary. He brought some of his team. He took some time to talk to us. And the man just really has a personal connection to the shop as well. In February of 2018, Toni Preckwinkle, she read a proclamation at the county commissioners meeting, and we were honored. Me and Johnny and Dave and a couple other people from the team were there to be honored by all the Cook County commissioners. And after they read the proclamation, I'll never forget, Luis asked to say something, and he spoke to us directly and passionately about just the impact mental health has played in his own life. And to hear someone, a political figure from our community, to speak openly about that in that setting was really powerful. And I just knew from that point that he was going to continue to like be a part of this story, and just a lot of respect for that man. So you get to hear a little bit in our conversation in the next segment.
Excellent. Yeah, and I think that comes through a lot. So we'll get right to that with Luis Arroyo, Cook County Commissioner.
All right, cool. What is your name?
Luis Arroyo, Cook County Commissioner, 8th District.
We're so glad to have you here. How did you first come about Sip of Hope?
I was actually here for the inauguration 1 year ago. So I'm here back in the neighborhood wishing you guys a happy birthday here in Logan Square.
It's amazing. I remember standing up there at the county commissioners with Toni Preckwinkle yep. when I first met you, and that was a really powerful day. And you even spoke in response to the proclamation kind of personally on your own. So I really appreciate you. How have you feel Sip of Hope has impacted this community here in Logan Square?
Well, I think Sip of Hope is a godsend to the community. Right now, when we have a lot of mental health issues, not only in the city, but throughout Cook County and the world, this brings that welcoming community, that welcoming environment. You know, I'm sure there's been a lot of tears shed. I'm sure there's been a lot of smiles, a lot of friendships, and a lot of connections. And that goes a long way.
Absolutely. Of all the experiences you've heard about Sip of Hope, is there anything that sticks out of your mind as most memorable?
That a lot of people just come here to meet the next person. You know, they come here, but yet I believe it's all the baristas are certified
in
mental health, first aid. And you don't get that feeling here, you know? And like your slogan, it's okay not to be okay, which is great. It's very welcoming.
Well, we're so glad that you've been part of year one of Sip of Hope. Thank you for your time today.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hell yeah, man.
Excellent. So we just heard Mike's interview with Luis Arroyo, the Cook County Commissioner supporting Hope or Sip of Hope from day one. So next up, we'll turn to someone who you've heard recently in our last Conversations Cafe episode with Partners in Prevention.
That was so good, by the way.
Mr. BK, Brian Kamisik. But what I like about the interview that we did here, and we recorded these, as I said, on May 1st, so this was a couple of weeks before the Conversations Cafe episode. So if there's anything that's overlapped, I would imagine it's because he was already able to think about it when we did our interview here.
For sure.
When Carl was interviewing him a couple of weeks later. But you end up, as I said, you get to see both the operational aspect that he brings to running SIP, but then also, again, the hope for the day / DMC way of doing things to building an organization, to building, as we'll hear next week, one of the baristas say, bringing experiences to people and what that means, and just what the community and the experiences the community has brought to everyone who works at SIP as well. So why don't you give a quick intro to BK, and then we'll jump into his interview.
Brian's interview on that last episode of the Partners in Prevention Conversations Cafe is so good. It gives you a lot of insight into him as a person and why he's so good at what he does. This particular interview that we did the day that we were celebrating, like, you kind of, we were able to capture this excitement and this almost like jittery kind of energy that he knew people were in his shop to pay respect to 1 year of Sip of Hope. And I think it was a lot of feelings, you know, that he was dealing with that day too. And this interview is just really awesome because we got to step away from all that excitement for a second and go in his shop, his little Zen spot, when he needs to kind of debrief after a heavy conversation or something like that, and to really show him some love and really show him the appreciation that is warranted for what a stellar job he's done in year one. So
And you could see, as you mentioned, kind of getting a different little feel or a different energy from this interview than the Partners in Prevention interview, whereas it's almost, he talks about his experience or his history with Johnny and the Bouchers, as well as working with DMC, but you almost sense a kind of a trepidatious pride that he has going in the interview. Yeah. And so as he went into it, and then I think that carried over into the Partners in Prevention Conversations Cafe episode, where he... Now he had like that 1 year mark behind him, so he was able to kind of look at it a little bit more objectively. So I think both these interviews, even though he may touch on some of the same stuff, definitely has a different feel and very well rounded for both parts.
I'm so glad you said that, because it's really, that's a perfect way of saying it. It's like a man that was amidst reflection, and then a man like a couple weeks later who had kind of reflected and, you know, kind of come to terms with what the first year had meant and made some goals for himself going forward. He's the captain.
Yep.
He's steering that ship and he's doing it like a boss. I love you, BK.
Excellent. So let's get into it. And here we go with Brian Kmisek.
What is your name?
My name is Brian Kmisek.
And what do you do at Sip of Hope?
I'm the general manager.
Excellent. And how did you first get involved?
Johnny and I have known each other since we were 16 or 17 and have always been in close contact through the music scene. And I have worked in coffee since I was about 18. And so I think when the idea came around to open up a coffee shop, Johnny knew I had experience. He and I kind of work on the same level real well together. And he asked if I was interested, and absolutely said yes, and here I am.
What have you learned in the past year working at SIP?
What have I learned? Oh, I've learned how to be a good listener. I think a lot of the interaction that takes place in here outside of, you know, hey, what can I get you to drink, is listening. And I, you know, not necessarily thought that I was a good listener before, but thought that I was attentive and respectful. And I think I've learned how to be an even better listener, interacting with people and learning to appreciate the things that they're sharing.
Awesome. What have been the most impactful interactions that you remember and stick out in your head, either with customers or with your staff?
We can do one of each. Definitely the most impactful customer conversation I've had was a woman who came in pretty early on. I think maybe we were a month or two old, and she approached the counter, asked for a coffee, or rang her up, and she seemed to be kind of hesitating at the register a little bit. So I asked if she had anything going on today, and she said that she had actually come in because she had recently lost her sister to suicide about a week prior, and had heard about this place through a friend and was kind of curious what we were doing in here. And so we sat down together and talked for a little while, and really to just hear her kind of pain and yearning to understand why her sister chose to end her life was really eye-opening for me as a relatively new person to these types of conversations, at least to this level. And to hear her really kind of start to feel some relief in being able to talk about it. She was in a situation where her family was really embarrassed of the circumstances surrounding her sister's death, and she hadn't had a chance to talk to anyone about it yet. And so to kind of hear her open up and begin to maybe even figure out what direction her healing process was gonna start to lead her in was really, really deep and heavy. And I definitely had to kind of sit down and gather myself afterwards. But I walked away from that conversation feeling like that was a huge opportunity within the shop, not necessarily to have conversations with people that are experiencing a mental health challenge, but people that have already experienced that and are looking for a way to kind of heal and grieve and understand. Just to see that kind of take place was really impactful. And then I really remember a moment where someone approached the counter, and I think it might have been Sister Sam that was the first one to speak with them, and she caught on right away why they were here, could tell that they were struggling, and without even skipping a beat, kind of jumped into action, sat down with them, and although I didn't participate in the rest of the conversation, it was just really inspiring that she was so quick and so prepared to engage that person and see where that situation was going, that it was really inspirational to me, just to know that I had people on my staff that were ready and willing and able. It was great.
Oh, yeah. And the impact on the community, how would you kind of put that into words? What, have you seen people in the community like visibly like be impacted?
Definitely. It's been a humbling experience, the way that people come in and tell us how, just by existing, just by being here, maybe they don't live nearby, but just knowing that there is a place for people to talk, or if they are ever struggling, for themselves to talk in like a peer-to-peer environment, has been really, really humbling. And we hear that a lot, just that people are, whether they need us or know someone that, you know, needs that kind of conversation, they're just thrilled and really excited, and they can't wait to tell their friends and their family. And yeah.
Yeah. Has proactive prevention been impactful to your own life, your own well-being, like that whole concept, that philosophy?
I think so. I mean, I know so. It's definitely kind of tuned my ears when I'm talking with friends, talking with family members. You know, it's definitely taught me how to talk in a way that my language reduces stigma. And I, you know, am now catching myself using stigmatizing words, not even just in mental health, but in general. And I've noticed that, you know, my friends and family have caught on to that, and that has kind of spread. And I've had, you know, friends reach out to me and be like, hey, you know, I know we haven't talked in a while. I saw you're doing this kind of coffee shop thing. I got a friend that's struggling. Like, what can I do to talk to them? Where can I direct them to? And just like the idea of being able to get out in front of those things is really, really evident.
Well, thank you, Brian, for all you've done and for being a part of Year One of Sip of Hope.
Yeah, man. Glad to be here.
So there we had Brian Kamisik wrapping up our long form interviews this week for the Sip of Hope 1 year anniversary extravaganza supercut that we took part of on May 1st, 2019. All these interviews today were a lot more longer form. You ended up hearing stories kind of start to finish. You were able to see where Sip of Hope came from, a kind of an inkling, or just the growth from a single bag of coffee to a now full-fledged, fully functional coffee shop, operational community entity, and everything that happened along the way, and kind of the community and partners and the organizational and operational people to make it happen. So we'll pivot from there going into next week, where we're going to have some questions that are really insightful as far as what brought folks to working at Sip of Hope, what they've learned in a year, some amazing experiences that's brought throughout the year, how the Hope for the Day proactive prevention that is, I want to say, not pushed, but it is made available through Sip of Hope and some of the education that Mike spoke about earlier, through Sip of Hope and kind of the folks there, and how they're even the Sip staff are internalizing that and putting that to work day in and day out. And just some great conversation and insight on what it means to work in something that is truly unique and the first of its kind for a full year. So any closing thoughts on your end there, Mike?
I think you're in for a real doozy. This one was amazing and really sets a tone for the little highlight reel that you're going to get from the people that are on the front lines every day of our proactive prevention mission, that is the Sip Baristas. And I'm a little biased, you know, because I'm also engaged to one of them. So what's up, honey? But yeah, man, I can't wait to hear this highlight reel. I'm going to listen to it a bunch, I think, too. So.
And I think, like I said, it'll be great where the history of SIP episode came together organically this week, and then we'll have the kind of the lifeblood of SIP next week with everyone who works there and why they love it, and I mean, there's so many stories now that, like, after just listening to all the different interviews, there's, I have, like, conversations that I want to have with each and every, like, each and every barista, like, separately based on those interviews. Right. So,
yeah, it's like you get to know them, like, in a different way.
Like, that... like Brad says, like, there are people that come in and now they're his friends, and the locals are there and they're now his friends. So those, I imagine that the folks that have been listening and kind of been keeping in line with our Conversations Cafe episodes, they're going to want to go and visit, and now they're going to connect the dots to the baristas and know those experiences and see just how much of an impact even they may have made to SIP itself.
I want to, like, squeal with excitement because the buzz that we captured with these interviews that day, and thinking about that day, and you know, as we've gone through all of this stuff, it's just really nice to relive that day a little bit and to feel that energy that was just so prevalent that day. So I'm so excited, I'm gonna squeal.
Excellent. This week's the intro episode to Sip of Hope 1 year anniversary, and next week we'll wrap it up with the supercut.
Thank you so very much for joining us this week. We hope you had as good a time listening as we had recording the interview. Don't forget to check out anthologiesofhope.com/playlist for all the awesome songs that will get added each week. You can find us on social media at Anthologies of Hope on Facebook and Instagram, and Anthologies Pod on Twitter. It would be great if you could subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or Google and leave us a review. As always, remember, everyone has a story, and it's about time we start listening.